listen to that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
All right. Welcome.
Hello.
Hey.
I have a self-correction to make from last week's podcast.
All right.
I stand corrected.
This podcast? You mean the 200th podcast?
Holy shit. I forgot. Oh my God. So fun.
200th episode of All the Answers.
Wow. We've done 200 of these.
Well, it's been like 4 years. We started recording at the end of 2019. So it's only been 3 years, three and change. But that's a bit. That's a lot.
I've lived in 6 different homes in that time.
And 4 different states.
Yep. Wow, that's wild.
Yeah. And really 5 different cities.
Yeah, 5 different cities, 6 different homes, 4 different states.
That's not a
sounds little bit. Like a Sagittarius rising, Aquarius sun. That's what it sounds like on a Pisces moon journey.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It does. Sag is all about travel and expansion and new places and new ideas and higher learning. Aquarius is about breaking structures and innovation and change and transformation. And Pisces is about spiritual growth and depth, following the spiritual signs. Yeah.
All right.
Like, it does not sound like a Taurus, and it doesn't sound like much of a Leo, and it does not sound like a Cancer. And like our buddy who helped us on the staging job, I thought he was Aquarius, but then he said Sag, and that's literally the only other sign that could have been the case with however many jobs he said. But I know that as soon as you heard me say that, like, oh, okay, Sag too, you were like, any word he would have said there, you would have been like, oh, okay, of course. But I was like about to say out loud in that moment, no, if he had said Cancer, I'd be like, that's weird. You have some stuff to work through.
Are you sure? Let's check your birth certificate.
So, yeah.
All right.
So, 200, man, I feel like we should do something.
We have a little bit of a plan. We've got a bunch of listener mail.
Oh, yay.
We've got some glow ups. We've got some questions. We've got some just I'm excited. Good stuff.
What's a glow up?
You know, when people say nice things about you.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what teen slang is. Or young slang is. I think a glow up is actually when you do like make yourself look pretty.
That was a makeover. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a makeover.
Nice try though.
Yeah. Ego fluff. Like we have some ego fluffing or aura fluffing.
Self-esteem building.
You almost just showed me your boob because you're using the bottom of your shirt
to
clean your camera. I got really excited. It's cleaner now. Still no boob.
Still no boob.
Still no boob. I interrupted you. You were starting to give us a correction.
Yeah. So, okay. Remember I was all like, last week we had a dear friend, client, student, colleague of mine. We do so many things in each other's orbits. Wrote in and was like, what does having the left angle cross of incarnation mean? And I was like, no.
She's, that's not a thing. Right.
I said, she's said it wrong. I see what she did there. Well, so she and I spoke after that. She heard the episode and she was like, here's a picture of my chart. Am I not the left angle cross of incarnation? Because it says literally those words. And I was like, oh. So in other words, incarnation crosses can either be the left angle cross of blank, the right angle cross of blank, or the juxtaposition cross of blank.
Got it.
There are hundreds of those. They fall under the title incarnation cross. So I assumed wrongly.
See where this is going.
That she had just, you know, flipped the title of the whole group of things and misnamed it. But because I haven't memorized hundreds and hundreds of incarnation cross names, I didn't know there was a I can't remember now if it's left or right or whatever, but I think it's...
It was left in the case, yeah.
Okay, left angle cross of incarnation. So yes, that is her incarnation cross. It just happens to have the word incarnation in it.
She has the incarnation cross. That is the left angle cross of incarnation.
Cross of incarnation, exactly. So I stand corrected. I apologize for my misspeech. And did she have a question about that I could maybe answer?
No, she had a different question, which we did answer.
Okay.
But she was trying to give us just a little more juice by sort of signing it left angle cross of incarnation.
Oh.
Like to say if this is relevant to the question that she asked, which I can...
I think we should look at it because I just want to make sure I didn't skip over telling her about her incarnation cross because I can definitely pull it up and tell her about it. In fact, now, since I'm curious, I'm going to pull it up because now I want to know.
She signed it at the very end, left angle cross of incarnation. But the question had to do with when we opened, wasn't really personal, actually. It was more about, and when you open the records, does that open, like, are we all opened into the records? Do we all have access? Are all of our records open?
Yeah.
And your answer was more like, varying levels of sensitivity, you have different levels of tap in to what's happening, but no, it is not
your. Yeah, I remember. Can you tell me what her, she didn't send that. She sent that to me. I'm just going to, just to give her a little extra.
She gave you four numbers.
I get it. Okay. I have that here. Give me a second. Okay. So if you have the left angle cross of incarnation in the following configuration, 24-44-13-7, you carry the energy of the process of incarnation. At some level, you have a deep understanding that we are always coming and going. The cells in our bodies have a limited lifespan. As cells die off, they are replaced with new ones. Your energy has a recognition for this pattern. You are here to give direction to all that you encounter. In whatever process something is in its life, you have seen what leads up to this and where it goes. Without even knowing on a conscious level, you provide guidance about where their process will lead them. Wow, that's profound. And what I want to say to this particular person is the incarnation cross starts to show up as what your day-to-day life is filled with. The more we're practicing following strategy and authority, and the more we decondition into being what and who we actually are. So the more you become yourself, the more this will start to mean something very deep and resonant to you. So if it already does, great. And if it doesn't mean anything or resonate, you could think of it as a call to action toward deconditioning more fully into whatever, aka doing more trauma healing work. And then you might find that this just shows up. I need to read it again because this one's really deep. You carry the energy of the process of incarnation. So the process of incarnating. At some level, you have a deep understanding that we are always coming and going, incarnating, going away, incarnating, going away, like reincarnation, right? The cells in our bodies have a limited lifespan. As cells die off, they're replaced with new ones. Your energy has a recognition for this pattern. You're here to give direction to all that you encounter, which this person does do. In whatever process something is in its life, you have seen what leads up to this and where it goes. Without even knowing on a conscious level, you provide guidance about where their process will lead them. Wow, that's very interesting. Okay, well, there you have that.
All right.
That is really interesting knowing my friend. I'm like... I'm synthesizing in my awareness, like pieces of that with regard to her life.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. Okay. So that's my correction.
So that's last week.
Yeah. It was me fact checking myself.
And also, I think it's very important that we address the commitment you made, which you are not living up to, of tightening the screws on your squeaky chair. Now, and then you said something about, well, that's open ego.
Oh, yeah.
Right there.
It's true. Yeah.
Because as listeners will recall, last week, on last week's episode, Katie very said, I make this commitment to you.
Wow.
In front of God and everyone.
Like a, you're like a, what are you? You're like a fucking.
A lawyer?
A religious.
Zealot.
Dogmatist zealot.
Yep.
Here's the words you said before God and country.
Before God and country and your loved ones. The commitment, the swore. No, I'm only saying it because it is similar to the language you use, which surprised me. You didn't just go, I'll get to that. That's a good idea. You said something to the effect of, this is, you know, I don't know, I will hold myself accountable to this statement or I make this commitment to you and the listeners. So I was amused
now
by that.
Okay, now let's undo it because watch, I didn't and I don't care. And here's why. I have open ego, open head, open ajna. And okay, this is like a real thing, but I'm going to explain. So like, literally the human design teaching for open ego people is don't make promises.
Right.
You can say something like, eventually I will, you know, probably do that maybe sometime.
You can set intentions or...
Or you could say like, yes, eventually I'll get to that probably if I want to. Or you could say to people like, sure, but knowing full well that like, you're not gonna. Or you may gonna, but you may not. So anytime I'm saying definitely with fortitude, yes, for sure, I commit, I don't.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't say it so committedly. That's the real deal.
Yeah.
But I do. But here's the other thing about this particular thing. I am going to do it eventually.
Eventually. And we'll know when it happens because we'll stop hearing the squeaks.
Oh, my God. Is it that annoying? Is it really annoying?
I listened to the episode when it was happening and I was like, oh, shit, it's happening. It's for real.
Well, now that you've pointed it out for everyone to pay attention to, I'm sure it's...
Oh, they didn't hear it before. Come on.
I don't know. I don't actually know.
I know, because you don't listen to the episodes.
No.
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 It's all good. I'm amused. Look, I find it fucking hilarious, so that's why I'm bringing it up.
Okay.
I hope you're not irritated by my poking at this scab a little bit.
Well, I guess I'm wondering where it comes from. Like, what's your actual motivation in doing it? Because it might just be nothing, but I am projecting onto it like, and I'll tell you where this comes from too. I'm projecting onto it like, there's a thing, okay, we're going to do a Katie Cassidy processing a dynamic in our dynamic.
Okay.
Are you ready? Do you want to or not? We could skip it.
No, I do. I do.
Okay.
I'm just going to tell you, I'm feeling cheeky today. So you're going to get, you're going to get jokey reactions that probably aren't real couched in like real pain here.
Couched in real pain.
They're not like, oh God, when I did that joke because it was an obvious joke to make. That's it.
About the chair?
No, just now when you said we're going to do some processing.
Oh, the sigh, the big sigh you did.
This is the big sigh.
Cheeky sigh.
The cheeky sigh.
I see. I get you. Okay. Not real pain. Not couched in real pain.
Not like, oh God, I don't want to do this. No, shit. This is the good stuff. I fucking love this shit.
Okay. All right. I found myself saying this to Rami. This could be called triangulating if I had done it badly. But I found myself saying, I'm going to describe to you a behavior I experience with Cassidy. And I want you to tell me if you run into this so that I can, because I'm guessing what I'm going to hear from your perspective is going to make me go, no, that's clearly my projection onto it.
Right.
Right. So that's exactly what happened. I shared it with Rami and they were like, I experience it more like X. And I was like, oh, that's such a different way of hearing what I was hearing that it helped me go, like, it helps me to do check-ins with people like that because it shakes loose my perception that I think is so real.
Yeah.
Right? Which is such a good thing for all of us listening to think about. Like, when we think, this happens so often, right? Like, in relationships of any kind, you think you really think you know where a person's coming from with words they say.
Yeah.
Man, am I wrong regularly about that? And it's refreshing to be wrong about it. Anyway, okay, so... I'm going to try to think if there was a second, there was an example of this that happened. Oh, I got it. Okay. I have two examples of it. Cause I think sometimes when you give feedback to people and you're trying to do a check-in, like, did you mean this when you said that? If you don't have specific examples,
it's really hard to hone in on what you're actually saying.
It's so hard. One of them, you're going to love this. I am dredging up from years ago.
Oh, good.
That I clearly have not let go of. because it bugged me and I never said anything. I'm going to tell you first what the two statements were, and then I'm going to tell you how it lands for me and what my interpretation is. And then I would love to hear your perspective on like where you're coming from with these kinds of statements or those specific ones.
Yeah.
How does that sound?
Sounds great.
Okay. One time you and I were hiking in Sacramento, the only time we probably ever hiked together ever.
Okay. So this is probably 15 years ago when we were doing a show on the boat, maybe.
Yeah, it was boat show time.
Yeah. Which I just saw, and it was 14 years ago. It just came up on my memories.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hunter-gatherers?
Hunter-gatherers 14 years ago.
That's too much. I can't know that.
Yep.
We're all dying very quickly. So you said to me, we're walking, and I said something about, you know, when this show's over, I'm going to, I don't know what I said, go back to my apartment in Lake Merritt, or, but maybe I'll stay in Sac for a while, or something like that. And your response was, yeah, because you've never really been able to get a stronghold in the bay, have you? And I was like, never been able to. I've been there once. I was there for 6 months. Then I got a show out of town. So no, I don't yet have a toehold in the theater scene of the Bay Area. But it was a very like definitive statement about what I've been incapable of doing so far, according to you.
Yeah.
Which bothered me at the time because I remember thinking, because the language was, you've never been able to accomplish that.
Able to. Oh, yeah, I hear that.
Which sounded like I had been trying and trying and trying and failing and failing and failing. And it felt like a value judgment of me.
Sure.
Okay. So then, of course, I go like, you're assuming that, Katie. Don't assume that. He probably didn't mean it that way. And then I just never brought it up.
Right.
Since that 500 years ago, there have been several things you've said to me that are similar in the sense of, it's a broad general statement made about me in a big picture way that has a neg, like it feels like a neg.
Yeah.
And that is being stated as a truth, like as a cemented reality.
Sure.
Or at least this is how these comments land. Another one was just the other day. This is silly. And I know you were probably kidding totally, maybe, I don't know. But when we were doing the staging job and our new buddy David was there and we were going up the stairs and he mentioned coming out of a terrible relationship and you said, you two should talk. As if to suggest, here's what I heard. You're always in fucked up relationships, Katie.
Oh, God. Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear what I totally get why my clumsy words sound like negs.
Okay.
I acknowledge that.
Okay.
Totally not, but I sure as fuck can understand, like, zoom out on that. I'm like, well, of course that's what he means. I can respond to what I think I'm coming from. I'm going to only theorize on the 200-year-old one.
Yeah.
Because I don't actually remember saying that.
Okay.
Of course, but it didn't stick with me. But I hear myself saying similar things to people or similar things being said to me.
Sure.
And sometimes taking them as like passive aggressive, like toppings or whatever, like, you have this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like if I was saying something like that, it was clumsy as fuck, but it would have been from the point of view of, is that frustrating for you? God, I observe this and I would love to, you know, like get on board with you on that topic. Does that make sense?
Like you're trying to, like you're saying it's an empathy attempt.
Yeah, it's a clumsy attempt at like, God, that sucks that you, so like I make this assumption that you agree with this already, which is that you've never been able to make a foothold in the bay. That's got to be really fucking, that's, I don't understand that because you're fucking talented or whatever.
I see.
It would be the next, and I didn't say it like that and probably should have.
I see.
If I were going to say something like that, probably should be said more, you know, fully fleshed out.
I see.
But
yeah,
totally where I would think that the Cassidy I know, why I'd say something like that, especially to someone like you, who I have no desire to compete with, neg,
put down,
passive aggressively undercut.
Awesome. Okay.
Because you don't threaten me in any way. You know what I mean? Like,
that's cool.
Even unconsciously, I can't imagine that being
the MO.
My motivation, the MO. Because I have no, but I do sometimes very clumsily and almost like desperately try and be like, hey, let me say something to get in with somebody, like to to connect. Oh, hey, let me say a kind of a funny thing.
I see.
To, you know what I mean? So like that,
yeah.
I literally was thinking of that one relationship when I said that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
that to me is one of the most, when he said like the grips of Satan in a hellscape or something like that.
Right, right.
I was like, oh yeah, my friend Katie here has grips of Satan in a hellscape. Not really grips, but still.
Yeah.
But in my mind, that's exactly where I went. I wasn't saying.
You always do
that. Katie's gone this fucking laundry list of fucking idiots and assholes.
Yeah.
But again, why wouldn't it also could have been totally taken that way?
Yeah, I think I was trying to think of a couple more because it's been, there have been a number of them. And in recent years, I've gotten just better at being like, when, if you say anything like that in the moment, I'll just be like, well, no, because I actually see it like this. And then we just correct it in the moment.
Yeah.
But the ones that I don't stand up to or mention, they bug me.
Yeah.
And it's because I needed to clarify. And I, by the way, I 100% believe you. Now that you explain it that way, I'm like, well, of course, that's what the Cassidy we all know would be. That would be your MO.
Yeah.
Of course. So I fully, I believe you and thank you for clarifying for me. It was kind of like, it's every time it's happened, it has felt competitive and negging, which I'm like,
why are we doing that? Like, why is anybody doing that? But why are we especially doing that? We don't do that. We don't need to do that.
Yeah.
But people do that. That's why, I mean, you have good reason. Especially in our industry, our world, our field,
yeah,
to be wary of that kind of behavior because it happens and it fucking, it's gross when it happens.
Yeah, it's not, it's kind of icky. And I know for myself, whenever I've done stuff like that in the past, if I've said things like that, it's coming from so much insecurity in myself.
Yeah.
Like I'm feeling so small or like,
yeah,
you know, I'm not inside some group or I've not booked some job that I want to neg somebody so that I feel powerful again. And I get it. It's not like I've never behaved that way myself.
Sure.
I just was like, we're good friends and we're grown-ups.
Why are you saying it like that? Yeah.
And I think I wanted to explore if there was anything like, I don't know, that about our dynamic or me that brings up anything that would trigger something like that. But if you're saying it, it's like not at all that.
I don't think it's at all that. I mean, obviously, I'm going to ruminate on this a little bit now that you've brought it into my soul. It's not going to torture me, but it's going to, you know.
You'll ponder it.
I'm going to ponder it. And I might go, oh, you know what? That one time I was being an asshole or whatever.
Right.
Because also, yeah, I'm sure I've done smaller versions of that.
Yeah.
You know, just out of, you know, comedy riffing sometimes. When we're grasping for the joke, we take the...
Too hard.
We go too hard or we go into the roast or we go into the thing that's like, actually, that doesn't feel good to actually even joke about.
Yep.
And even when I said that thing the other day, it was one of those left my mouth and I went, you know, you want to grab it and go, nah, it's not what... I was like, that was desperation energy for me. I think I can call that out. That was probably desperation. I was really eager to like make this connection between this new friend that I've made and you as the, and I think you guys kind of have some fun things in common. So I was like,
yeah,
I wasn't trying to set you up or anything, but
I hear you.
But I was like, I was kind of in this like, hey, like each other mode.
Right.
Little puppy energy. So I was like, he has a terrible relationship. So do you.
Yeah, right.
That's
yeah.
the worst. Whee! That's the dumbest fucking thing to reach for.
Like it.
Also, you don't get to bring that one up. Like, that's not yours to bring up, Cass.
A little bit, yeah.
That's Katie's to bring up.
But yeah, I understand. That makes sense. When you're grasping for straws, you'll say any old thing.
Yeah.
You meaning one, anyone grasping.
Yeah, we sometimes like, nope, that one did not, nope.
Yeah, I think I did one today, actually. I did this today in a different way, a version of this where I did one of those jobs through CSZ, actually, the San Jose Comedy Sports. Come on down, see a comedy sports show, America.
Well, I hear you suck in them. Shit.
You've had a really hard time getting good at that, haven't you? No, I'm doing great.
Oh my God, I said that to somebody one time. Fuck, what was it? It was a long time ago, but I said to a good friend who hadn't done a lot of theater except for us being in an improv troupe together, and we were friends for a long time, and we had it was long, fucking 25 years ago, and I said, very straight face, I said, I'm so embarrassed to tell you this, I said to him, and he will never let me live it down, he still brings it up to this day.
Oh God.
You're getting pretty good at this.
Oh geez. Oh, geez.
Or I think you're really starting to get this. It was something very much on that.
Yeah.
And I really meant it as a compliment.
Right.
And it I know. Was not a compliment.
A million
it
percent.
It was a condescending fucking bullshit is what it was.
Yeah, I get that.
And could have been a passive-aggressive thing that someone else would have done as a neg.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Today I was in, so the CSZ people do some of the role play jobs where like, companies hire actors to role play difficult feedback scenarios. So we did one of those today and it was a fun one. And what happens is between the role play scenarios, the actors will get put into a green room on Zoom where we're just by ourselves. And of course we get all raunchy and insane and have a fun time in there because thank God we're away from the corporate people for 5 minutes. So we're like, dicks and vaginas, you know, we just get or whatever, like we're doing bits and we're giving each other shit and having fun. With improv people, right, they're not stand-up people. And I tend to sometimes blur, I'm like all comedy people into one box, which is not correct because improv people are so fucking friendly and inclusive and everything's connect. It's all about helping and yes and.
Make your partner look good.
And I love it. I really love it. I can't handle stand-up comedians because they're terrible. I happen to kind of be one though.
Mm.
And I'm sort of terrible. So I was just negging our buddy in there actively, just shitting on him. But in a way that everybody kind of does, I'm just better at it in a bad way. Like I can neg hard.
Not a great skill.
It's a pretty great skill when you're a stand-up.
Sure.
But in life...
Very good skill as a stand-up.
In life, it
not so much as an improviser.
Yeah. So anyway, I was like, well, not if... Let's call him Jerry. Like, oh, I guess Jerry doesn't have his camera on because he's putting his human face on. And that did get a laugh. But then I gave him some more shit later and the room just went quiet. And I was like...
Oh, God.
Well, this is between Jerry and I because we joke about him. And then Jerry's face was just blank. And I was like... Everybody, I've taken it too far. I have crossed the line and I apologize to Jerry. And then everybody, that got a laugh, thank God. But it was just, you know, I'm just like going for the joke. And sometimes you're in the right room for it and sometimes you're not.
Yeah. Did you talk to Jerry?
Yeah, he's fine. I was like, I'm sorry, was that too harsh? And he's like, I don't give a fuck. And I was like, oh, because your face said you gave a lot of fucks.
Mm.
So who never knows? You know what I mean?
Knows. And of course he's going to say afterwards, oh, I don't give a fuck. And maybe he did, maybe he
maybe didn't. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I think I trust him enough to tell me the truth. But there's also that brand of performer. Do you know these? This tends to be, boy. There's a brand of performer where their style, whether they're a comedian or not, is edgy enough that you think they're down to be ribbed, but then you rib them and they take it personally.
Yeah.
Like they're dishing it, but they don't want to take it kind of thing.
Yeah.
And particularly from a woman, I find a lot, they're like doubly, because you know that thing about, they say about women are afraid men are going to kill them and men are afraid women are going to humiliate them.
I think I've heard that.
Yeah, like the greatest fear men have of women is that we're going to publicly humiliate them. And the greatest fear that women have of men is we're going to die.
Jesus. I hate us all.
It's pretty rough to be a human. So I feel like that happens sometimes with me and male comedians where I'm like, we're one-upping. And then I take it to some level where their like man ego gets hurt.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, that was not, I was just in the, we're just punching each other's arm here because you just punched, remember when you punched mine just now? I'm just punching back. So how much of that is like, because I'm female, how much of it is because I'm just too harsh sometimes?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So you just do your best and then you make your amends.
Jesus.
Cool. Episode 200. We talked about my correction. We talked about the chair commitment. We talked about open ego, don't make promises.
We did a you and me.
We had a moment.
We had a relational.
Clarification,
which again, has been a good theme of this podcast for over the 200 episodes, I think.
And it's really true.
I think it's great modeling for everybody out in the world. I agree. And how do we talk to each other? How do we share with each other?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Oh, and I should be clear, because I'm talking out of school here. When I say that I said this to Rami, and they said, lest it sound like I'm saying Rami had some negative thing to say about this, they really did not. They were like, no, I think it's more, sometimes Cass just says words. He just wants to say words.
Yeah, that's also a thing.
That sounds right. And they were like, yeah, he likes to hear himself say words sometimes.
That's something I've been working on lately.
But they had no charge on it. They were just like, you know, that's what Cass does.
Yeah.
And I liked that interpretation and it helped the whole thing.
Yeah.
Shake loose.
He just likes to say words. They don't mean anything. Don't ever listen to him.
It wasn't that. But it's just a more sort of merciful, compassionate holding of a very neutral interpretation of a thing, you know.
On the opposite end of that spectrum, this has been on my mind and I've been wanting to say it, so I'm going to say it on the podcast. In the last 2 weeks, got a whole new level of like, holy shit. Katie Rubin is a fucking badass bomb.
My God.
It's partially because, like, I worked a couple of staging gigs with you. And I'll just tell y'all, if you're looking for a stager, what is the name of your staging by the bay?
Signature Staging in the Bay.
Signature Staging in the Bay. Fucking, I don't know how, what you are doing, what are you, how? Here's why. We go to, Katie's got a storage unit with a lot of stuff in it, which was not the most fun always to unearth, but you know, that's the gig. It's actually kind of fun to unearth because that makes it feel like I'm doing something.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I worked with Katie as sort of grunt labor for a couple of gigs, a couple of staging gigs. And so I'm here, I'm like, you have all this stock and you're making bids. And so I'm like running through like the whole business of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Which is so completely outside of anything I could handle in this tiny little brain heart of mine. I started to sit down. I'm like, wait a minute. You have a full-on staging business. You've got like three actively sitting right now, I think.
Yeah.
That's a lot. You just told us that you depleted your own personal stock of something in order to have these staging. So that's funny.
Yeah.
But that's probably a lot to have three active sitting stages, I would imagine.
Right. Well, it is for me. Until you're bigger and you have 20 houses worth of furniture, I only have about three houses worth of furniture. So that's growing slowly. But yes, it's all still out right now.
So you have that whole ass business. You have your whole ass. I'm a healer and I see clients all the fucking time, like nonstop.
Yeah.
Including two or three different active workshops that you're running.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are also, recently doing your theater company. And when you were in Jacksonville, you're doing it too. You're producing comedy shows and producing some theater situation out there. Like,
and I do improv.
And you, hold on.
Sorry.
Like, that's the stuff I can grasp.
Right.
Like, those three. So I just named the three things I couldn't grasp. And then on top of that, like, of course, yeah, and you do improv and you do comedy and you do performance and you're an actor. Like, yeah, I get that. That's great. You're fucking badass at that. I've always known that. I've done it with you. It's fine.
Right.
But then, like, adding to that, the level of not just you do it, but you're fucking really good at it.
Ah.
And I don't know how to say that without it even sounding like a pat on the head. Like, you're really good at this shit. And I don't think I quite grasped it until I was, like, in there with you doing the staging. And I was like, what the fuck are we doing? You are staging somebody's home with crazy amounts of furniture and art and all this shit. And you're managing the finances of that and all the things.
Yeah. Thank you. That's so sweet. Yeah. I appreciate it.
So I just want to, y'all need to know.
Thank you.
It's a glow up for Katie. Is that, did I use that phrase right?
Glow up? Sure. Let's say yes. Thank you so much, Cass. I really appreciate that. It's
you bet.
The reason it's extra nice is because this is another human design thing. Like, so it's funny because so I'm a 6'2", and this the second line is about being a natural at things, and then what second lines have to learn is like not to devalue what you just organically know how to do, because it can seem so natural and obvious to us to do certain things, not other things. Believe me, I'm terrible at most normal things.
Right.
But that you can just go like, well, that's not even a thing, because I can just naturally, I know yeah. where the lamp goes and I know the blanket should go there. That's not a thing.
Right.
And so it's like over the course of the life of a second line, you start to go, wait, that's actually, some people pay people to do that thing. Oh, that might just be like a thing, like a skill that I have that I can lean into or something. So it's taken me a long time to, it's still just really nice to have somebody acknowledge it, because it's like, A, it's a new business and I'm like, I know I can do it, but you have to like convince other people to pay you, you know, to do it. So there's just like a daily insecurity grind about it that's like,
yeah.
is this going to work? And as it's starting to work, you know, to have a friend say that it's good, thank you. It's helpful.
Yeah. And it's fun to load the truck and unload the
truck. Isn't it fun?
It is weirdly fun.
It's weirdly fun. It's
weirdly
like
fun.
The best parts of moving all in one day.
Except that one piece of furniture.
What do you mean?
That slidey, that weird heavy thing that we had to get thing. Out of there. What the hell was that?
It's this huge wardrobe for people listening that would be like,
oh, that thing. I was talking about the weird slidey sit-up thing that we had to get rid of. Thing. And then we ended up not getting rid of. And
thankfully, that's not mine.
Having the client deal with it, because it was such a nightmare.
That belonged to the seller, yeah. Oof, it was a lounge chair, but it was incredibly heavy because it had a sliding out component that made it like weigh 5,000 pounds. And like four dudes that were painting the house ended up taking it downstairs because we were like, we're going to die if we have to move this.
It was fun. Anyway,
that's so
that
fun.
Was great. We have like 5 emails to get
okay,
into, and we have about, I don't know how long you have, but we have about 45 minutes to do it, so we should just hop in.
Let's do.
Jump in. I think I'll start, I've kind of ranked them in my head about like...
Are they questions?
Let's start with the glow up.
Okay.
Determining that that is the proper use of that phrase. Mm-hmm. And then there's some sort of lighter, sillier questions, and then there's some deeper questions.
Okay, great.
So we'll kind of just, I think we can just move in that way.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, we'll start with one from one of our...
And real quick, it's 4:44 on my phone, the time of the angels as we start this.
All right, angels, bring it in.
Bring it.
Gabriel,
bam.
Talk to me. Gabriel's my buddy.
He's your homes.
It's my homie.
Home slice.
This is just, I'm just going to read the email.
Okay.
It's a little long, but it won't take long.
Okay.
Congratulations on 200 episodes. I want to thank you, Katie, Cassidy, Rami, and Desmond for your incredible influence on my life.
Aww.
I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I would not be the current version of myself without all of you.
Mm.
Your podcast literally changed my life for the better.
Mm.
I have gone from a very manipulative, codependent, eating disordered, sexual abuse survivor, unhealthy too, to a human who can regulate my own energy field and know what is mine, ground myself, feel into my feelings and transmute them, do my parts work, sit in the position of watching myself, action and myself, actions and choices, and meeting what comes up when I'm triggered and sitting with that to move it through. I'm a very healthy self-pres too now. Self-preservation too now, and that is just the tip of the iceberg. Over the last 4 years, I've learned to love myself and meet myself where I'm at with compassion instead of anger, ridicule, and disgust. All my life, I've desperately desired peace in my heart, and y'all are part of helping me find that.
Hmm.
Pretty cool. Now, there's some individual call-outs here.
This is all from the same person?
This is all from the same person. Are you good?
Who I can totally tell who this is, but yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's not it. I don't think it's a secret. It's Denise.
Okay, great.
Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah. Katie, I love listening to you share what you go through as you grow and transform. It is such an incredible gift to share the way you do.
Hmm.
I love the way you question things and ask for answers and share them with us. So often, week to week, your personal journey mirrors things in my own life, and then you're in my ears giving me answers to questions I had not even formed a question for yet.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that awesome? I know.
Yes.
You inspire me to not give up and keep doing my work. I see how things are getting better and better for you, And because I see you transforming and growing, I know I can do this too.
Wow.
Sometimes when the suffering is unbearable, I WWKD. What
oh
would
my
KD
God.
Do?
Oh,
for
my
starters,
God.
For starters, quote, run a fourth step and wait 2 days to respond.
Yes, bitch.
Yes, bitch. I sit in the center of the anguish, feel all the feelings, follow them, grieve them, and bring light and allow them to pass. Sometimes I need to ask a healer for help, and sometimes I can do it on my own. You inspire me not to give up because you're a great healer, and you're still working on things like lightning and airplane travel and receiving. And I see no matter how tapped in one is, that shit is deep, and some trauma really just takes time to move, but to not give up and just keep showing up and doing the work. I thank you from the bottom of my heart, with every cell of my body. Your generosity in sharing your journey has guided me towards my healing journey, and I'm hooked.
Wow.
Never going to stop doing my work.
Oh.
Keeps coming.
That's like the best.
I know. It's like, this is the things we said we wanted to be doing, and we're doing it. I think it is for more than one person that we're doing it, but we're definitely doing it for one person.
For sure.
On my even more personal level, listening to Cassidy years ago speak, I fell in love with this incredibly emotionally intelligent man. Reached out, and holy shit, we got to spend 3 beautiful years doing our work together in what has easily been the most healthy relationship I've ever had.
Mm.
We have a wonderful, loving community together, and he created a safe space for me to be loved and to do my work and process. And finally, very recently, this one's going to make me cry.
I'm already crying.
Within 2024, helped me arrive at a point in my life where I actually feel safe for the first time ever.
Wow.
Woo.
Yeah.
Especially considering what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
It is extraordinary. I wouldn't be who I am without Cassidy Brown, one of the great loves of my life, soulmate, life companion, lover, adventurer. I am really, really looking forward to our next chapters together as our relationship shifts and transforms. Whatever is meant for us won't pass us by. We'll find it together and greet it with curiosity and open communication like we always do. I love you unconditionally. And I will report, because we've been telling people what's been going on a little bit. We are in an amazing transformed space right now. No details, but I'm very happy with the continued growth and shift of what we're discovering because we chose to like break up at a certain point, and it's turned into something even wonderfulier. That's a word. Almost done. Rami, thank you for being this beautiful light on a fascinating adventure. You're always sharing musings from different corners of the globe. That's so true. And I love hearing your smooth, thoughtful voice reflecting on what's happening to you and around you. Desmond, listen up, Desmond. You are the way we get to be with these beautiful souls.
Mm.
Without your loving care to listen and edit and add your songs and humor and sounds, without you, there wouldn't be anything.
Mm.
You are such a gift to us. Thank you for making all the answers as good as it is. Thank you for showing up year after year and delivering a high-quality product to the peoples. I wish for you all the love and adventure you desire. I hope there's always a new time travel film for you to explore and endless trilogies to watch.
Thank you.
Thank you, all the answers, for 200 incredible episodes and countless hours of content helping all of us suffer less.
Mm.
With all the admiration and love, Denise.
Oh, my goodness. But how do you really feel?
Right? Yeah.
So, so generous.
She keeps
so
it really
kind.
Hidden and under the...
Yeah, just come out with it, man.
Come on, just say it.
Why don't you say what you mean? That was just so soul nourishing and wonderful.
Right?
Yeah. Thank you, Denise, so much. We are lucky to have you as our, what are we, number one listener, number one fan?
We have, yeah. She's definitely one of our super fans. Top three super fans.
Yeah.
Been listening since the beginning and been stepping in and chiming in. Yeah. Changed my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I don't know what else to say. We'll just take it in.
Man, it's, I gotta say, it's really nice to just to see the human impact of something you spend a lot of time and energy doing.
Yeah.
When sometimes it's like, I get totally like opportunistic and I go, this thing doesn't pay me any fucking money. I could stop. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I got shit to do. I am. You have,
Four jobs. I mean,
you've heard the list of things that could be taken care of today, but I'm here. So it's really, I often have this thought, and I don't know that this is true, but I sometimes think since I stopped doing 12-step recovery formally. Like, I don't go to meetings and do it the formal way it's done. This is a way for me to do service work where nobody's paying me to share the wisdom that I have. And that's what 12-step people do for free all day, every day.
Right.
So I'd either be sponsoring women and sharing it there or doing this. Cause I do think it's kind of karmic. It's like correct. It needs to be happening. Yeah. I don't know. So there's that.
Yeah, that's true. It feels right. I mean, like we both have said, I mean, I think this podcast has changed both of our lives for significant way. I mean, I know it's done for me. I can't speak for you, but like, yeah, I'm not. I mean, obviously everything you do changes you in some way, but
sure.
Like I am very much not the same person I was 3 years ago.
That's cool.
By any stretch of the imagination, because of our conversations, because of the healing, because of the insistence on doing some of my own work, because of meeting Denise, you know, all the things. There's so many. And then that relationship also isn't just like, yeah, it's great to have a girlfriend, but like the amount of like work that I've done on myself inspired by that relationship and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
That's cool. I'm really glad to hear it.
I'm glad we're doing this.
Yeah. Bless you. Somebody sneezed.
I'll bet you I know who that was.
Bless you.
Is he going to keep sneezing? You going to keep blessing him?
He's also not responding, so he might be on a work. He's either dying or he's on a work video and can't respond.
And he like muted himself to sneeze. All right. The good segue from Desmond getting the call out in the holla.
Okay.
To Desmond's question. It's weird. We never can connect with our own favorite human anymore because it's just our schedules don't align. So he gets.
And he had to make all these people and adopt all these people and have all these children people.
Yeah. He's doing a lot.
Kids get in the way of everything. I said it.
Yeah. All right. So this is a very long email. This is from Desmond.
Okay.
As editor of your show, I know how handy more information can be. So Cassidy, feel free to read the basic question and dole out other info as needed. Also, and this is a caveat that we all need to hear, this is not my passive aggressive way of asking you to pay me. If any of my shows is going to blow up and wind up in Apple's top 10 out of nowhere, it's all the answers.
Aw.
So he's not saying this, but it is an issue. His short question is, Desmond McNeese. What's his middle name again?
Shit. I don't remember. It's Jennifer.
It's Jennifer. It's not. Desmond McNeese would like to know if pursuing podcasting as a host and or editor is a legitimate career goal and not just a hobby.
Right. Okay. I'm glad.
Do you want to just go into that? He gives you a lot of details in it. But that's the basic question.
Okay. Can I hear the details?
I host 3 podcasts and produce exclusive Patreon episodes twice a month. I also edit 4 other shows, including the illustrious All the Answers podcast. All of these shows have enough listeners to make it not a waste of time, but not enough listeners to get advertisers' attention.
Yep.
My Patreons are not getting the attention I hope for. I've been a stay-at-home dad since the pandemic, and podcasting has kept me from losing my mind. As our youngest is about to enter 4th grade, my ability to work outside the home is increasing. I would love to turn my hobby into a money-making job, but I will not be able to continue this level of podcasting and facilitate another career.
Right.
A few options. Keep grinding until one of these podcasts catches fire and get advertisers' attention and hope it raises my other shows up. 2, put all of my energy into editing others' shows.
Right.
Not his own. So I can rid myself of the anxiety about why none of my personal advertising campaigns continues to fail. Put all of my energy into one of my shows and will it into popularity. And then he tells you what his 4 shows are. Time Pop, Thank the Light. Oh, he only has 3. And Movies Are Us.
Do we have Desmond's chart or his birth info? That would be very helpful because the words that stand out there are will it into and marketing campaign, because some of this may be total incorrect functioning for his type.
You want to just pick up your phone and call him right now and see if you can get him on the phone?
Yeah, I'm going to text him first.
Okay.
Hello, everybody. While Katie is texting me, I just want to take this moment to wish All the Answers a happy 200th birthday. Congratulations, Katie. Congratulations, Cassidy. Congratulations to all the listeners, including myself. This podcast kind of started out as a tripod, and due to scheduling and all kinds of things, I have not been able to join as often as I would like. And it is divine intervention. Whatever this show is supposed to be, it is supposed to be Katie and Cassidy, because it is hysterical at this point how often I set up a doctor's appointment and 2 minutes later, Cassidy will say, "Hey, we're recording this Thursday at 10. Can you join?" "Nope, because I just made a doctor's appointment for Thursday at 10. So this show is exactly what it's supposed to be. And as the editor slash listener of this podcast, I have, I guess, grown. You know, this podcast just really helps to solidify, you know, I've always been a fairly open, fairly conscious, fairly spiritual person. And, you know, while this podcast has blown my mind, most of it is just a lot of reinforcement that I'm good, which especially during the pandemic, I, you know, while a lot of people were getting less and less good because they were not getting the feedback from the world that they were used to, I was getting weekly feedback from All the Answers, letting me know that it's all right. You're good. Just, yeah. And I've listened ahead, folks. And just let me say to everything that Katie is about to say, yeah, all the yes. Really just reinforcing what I think I already inherently knew and just filling me with confidence to be the most Desmond I can be. And if anyone's keeping score, my middle name is Paul. Desmond Paul McNeese, named after the wonderful and amazing Paul McCartney. No joke. Enjoy the rest of the show. Enjoy the next 200 episodes of All the Answers and do your work.
Oh, I have it. He sent it. Okay, now wait. Awesome. What time to the minute, please, kind sir? Wow, this is exciting. Come on, if he has the time, we're in business. Because I have a strong sense of, oh, he does. Okay, we're going to pull it up. Oh, look at that. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. I'm just going to open his incarnation cross real quick, which is not the incarnation cross of incarnation. 10, 15, 18, 17. Okay. Wow. Okay. He's got a fifth line personality, which is the first thing we have to talk about. And he's manifesting generator with sacral authority. Okay. Open ego, no root definition, open solar plexus, open head, open ajna. 5-2, left angle cross of prevention. All right, before I even start, I'm going to try to talk only about the things in his chart that are relevant to the question he's asking, because of course I could talk for 3 hours about just his chart, right?
Right.
Because we have other questions, is that right?
Okay. We have like three more.
Okay. All right, let me hop into his orbit here. I'm going to do this internally. Okay, so the question is like, is it a viable option for him to do podcasting for financial stability or as an income maker? Okay, I'm getting a bunch of info, but I'm going to ask this a few different ways before I start talking. So is it in his highest good to do it? Okay, is there something that's more correct for him that's in more alignment with his chart design, self, soul? Okay. If he were to, as he said, grind it out on one or two of his own. Okay. Okay. This is complex because it involves us. I mean, you know,
yeah,
he's doing us a very big solid, but I can only speak the truth as I hear it. Okay. Here's how to talk about it with regard to the chart. So the manifesting generator, which I also am a manifesting generator. There's five types, right, in human design. Manifesting generators, the main challenge we run into is learning how to not behave like manifestors. Manifestors are the ones who are meant, they're built, their vehicle is correctly functioning when manifestors go, I have an idea, I'm going to go out and make it happen. I can like sit at home and not be responding to something in my environment. I can just think up a thought and go, I want to start a shoe business and go do it. And then the manifestor is built and it is correct for their aura to then tell all the generators what to go do to make it all happen. And then to turn to the projector and go, can you give me guidance on how to do this? That's like how the world, according to Ra and human design, is like meant to be functioning. Generators were like doing the bidding of the manifestors, because we have this sacral definition and all this energy to do it. And the manifestors don't actually have the energy to do it. We are the worker bees who do the things. Mm-hmm. The manifestors are the ones who have just enough energy to delegate. And the projectors are supposed to just sit back, not do much, and guide us all. And then reflectors are a whole different thing. We'll talk about another time. So in the language you're using to describe the question, you reveal a few things. Will it into being, push, try, hustle. I'm paraphrasing now, but the way I hear it is they're like, he's learning how to not be a manifester. And what's hard for manifesting generators is the way Ra would talk about it is he says it takes manifesting generators years and years and years to get off the manifester trip. Because you have so much energy and so much power, even more so than the generator. So it's hard for a manifesting generator to live in response. Mm. What does response mean? Let's talk a little bit more about it. Response for the generator, the pure generator, and the manifesting generator is it's got to be an organic response to something in the environment. That can be another person. It can be a sign you see on a store. It can be a building. It can be a person, it can be an experience, it can be, but manifesting generators and generators are meant to live in response. We're not meant to sit around and go, I'm going to start a podcast, let's go out and do it. Now, you might say, yeah, but Katie, you're a manifesting generator and you're starting a bunch of shit. What's important is to understand the place from which the things I've started come. The ones that are built in response work well. They just work. The ones that are built in me trying to be a manifester in my own way don't. So I'm always learning personally more and more about this very topic. Interestingly, this is another thing Desmond and I share. I did not remember this at all. I'm going to share my screen with you just so you can see what I'm talking about, the listener.
So you can still be like sort of in right response as a manifester, I mean, as a generator, or a manifesting generator, and still be like a CEO. But
yes, if you got to CEOing in response and by following your authority correctly.
Not by just completely coming up with an idea out of nowhere and
like willing it into being. Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, like I would say, like looking at this chart, I see why he wants this to work. It makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of things here that are good for podcasting, but anything you're thinking you have to push or will into being is incorrect. So if you want to keep podcasting, it's like keep podcasting because you have the energy for it. It's satisfying for you to do, and it makes you feel more like yourself. Is it going to be the moneymaker? I get a no. Now, what I was going to say a second ago is if you look here, he's got this integration circuit from 10, hold on, gate 10, sorry, 20 to 10 to 34. I have the same exact integration individual circuitry right here, although mine is all red and he has the 10 black. The point about this is these are channels that make you, Desmond, an incredibly individualist person who has a lot of power in your being. Like people will experience you as incredibly powerful, and you know what to say with your voice intuitively in the moment. And you have the energy to say it and the passion to say it. So this channel right here that I'm pointing to that Cassidy can see, the 20 to the 10 and then the 10 to the 34, it's actually two channels in one, makes a ton of sense to be a podcaster. Something Ross talked about a lot that I have resisted in many different ways and come to believe is true through just doing it wrong a lot and watching that not work, is when not entered into correctly, things will not work. Mm. In other words, if you enter into a project through strategy and authority and it's correct for you, it can work. If you enter into a project not through strategy and authority, it won't work, which is a very interesting thing to think about, because what you could say is, the same exact career could work for a person that isn't working presently if they were to do it differently, AKA if they were to enter into it correctly. Mm. Now, in this case, I still get a no on it. Like there's something about this that is just not, it's very light on the no. Part of this, and then they bring me to your profile. You're a 5'2". Okay. part of this is like perfect for a 5-2. And I see where, why you would want to. The second line body, right? You're hermetic. Your body is a hermit. It wants to be doing what it's natural at, and it wants to be natural, and it wants to be at home a lot, frankly, hermitizing, which, you know, producing at your studio allows you to do. And I have to interrupt myself and just say, they keep bringing me back to the sound engineering. I feel like, didn't Desmond get like a degree in sound engineering?
Yes, I think so. Or certification or something. Yeah. He's like a trained sound, he went to a school for.
Yeah. It's like, they're like, keep podcasting for satisfaction, fulfillment, fun while working as a sound engineer if you can, and see how they come together over time through response and authority. That's the advice I get. It's not a black and white answer of like, no, yes, but it's...
Can you say that again?
Keep podcasting for fun and satisfaction, and only keep the aspects of it that are satisfying for you, that make you feel more like yourself and that you actually have energy for, where you're not having to drag yourself through it or force yourself to do it. Keep only those elements of it that do that for you. They feel juiced. You have energy for it. It makes you feel like yourself, and you're not dragging yourself through it, number one. And number two is like, they give it to me like, and get a sound engineering job or two, but it's better if you had one. And watch over time how through response, where you're not stressed and trying to make a thing you love doing support you, watch how through response and following your sacral authority, yes, I have energy for that. No, I don't have energy for that. Things fall into place in a way that makes no sense to your brain right now. Your brain is like, I want to understand. I want to solve this problem. I want to make money, right? That's understandable. That's how humans feel. But you don't have, there's nothing in your brain that's going to take you to where you need to go. Where you need to go comes through strategy and authority, responding to reality, listening to your sacral authority. Yes, I have energy for that. No, I don't. Another thing I have to talk about is you have the channel 515. You have the full channel, which is a channel of rhythm. It's a rhythm channel that has to do with nature. You need nature a lot, and you need to function on your own timeline and in your own rhythm. If you try, and coupled with that, those integration circuits I just talked about that are very individual, it's going to be tough if people try to get you to function on their timeline or do things you don't really, want to do. I think there's going to be, oh, it keeps stopping me in the middle. There is a correct position for you, waiting for you in sound engineering. It is present. It does exist. You can have it, and it will stabilize things in a way. I mean, the amount of relief that will come to your body when that falls into place will be large. And then the podcasts or podcast, however you decide to proceed with it, will be very fun on top of a job that is already fun.
Great.
Does that address everything?
I think that answered the questions that he put out there.
Okay. There's this one other channel, the 5027. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Gosh, I see how he got exactly right to where he is. It's so interesting. I'll just leave it like this. And we have to read his incarnation cross really quickly here. Left angle cross of prevention 2. Your cross carries the energy to examine behavior. You analyze behavior and then make commentary to correct it. The driving force here is to prevent hardship or injury by correcting the behavior and cutting it off before potential disaster happens. This energy can be a bit judgmental and dictatorial at times. Be aware of your delivery, as it will be more effective if you soften it some of the time. You're here to help others avoid potentially harmful behavior by correcting what seems risky and applauding what appears good.
Sounds like parenting.
I see him doing that.
Yeah.
With his kids. I was just going to say the same thing. But also, as soon as I read that, it's like, in his role at this sound engineering job that theoretically just like exists right now and is like waiting for Desmond to fill it, he gets to do all of that.
Mm.
And I think he's going to be in charge of people. Like, he's going to have underlings that he teaches and mentors, kind of. And then the people he's working for, whatever the business is or the company, is going to need his perspective and correction. But yeah, that piece about just softening the delivery will be very, very helpful. going forward, which, by the way, is something I can relate to as well, because manifesting generators run into this a lot in general, but particularly if you have the integration circuitry of 2010 and 1034. You're just a powerful motherfucker. And so things come out of your face intensely, and they, as they do out of mine.
Yeah.
And I've worked with this my whole life. Okay, I'm gonna stop talking. We love you, Dez.
That's really such a good transition to another email. So like, it's a perfect segue. Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna close his records real quick here. I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for their love and compassion. The lords of the records for the point of view and the Holy Spirit of light for all knowledge and healing. I ask you to return all of Desmond McNeese's energy to himself. I ask him return himself to his complete human wholeness. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Desmond McNeese are now closed. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I have to feel this sort of like this click happens where I'm like, and I'm free of that person's energy. Okay, I'm ready.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, shall we move on to another? You can stop sharing your screen.
Oh.
So I can see your beautiful face more.
Okay.
There you are. Hello.
Hello.
Fantastic. All right. This is from another one of our very loyal listeners, Carolina, who has been on the show and is also my housemate. So we actually talked about some of these questions.
I love it.
There are three different questions. So I think we'll just take them one at a time because they're very different. But one of them is about manifesting generators. So,
okay.
And it, I think you've already said some of this, so this is great.
Okay.
Are generators/manifesting generators meant to always work for someone else?
Mm-mm.
I'm having a challenge understanding the difference with manifesting for oneself and fulfilling someone else's vision or efforts. For example, if I have the life purpose of teaching and I'm always sought out for this as a generator, and then I want to build an independent business around that.
Mm.
Would that be responding, or is that manifesting a business based on experience? This is a personal example of what I'm working towards too.
Okay. The simplest way to talk about this, I mean, you're right. We did just kind of talk about this, which is cool. Themes,
yeah,
emerging.
It's great.
Arising, thematic connections. I wish I remember her authority, but I know, so her strategy has to be response because she's either a generator or a manigen. Do you know?
I think she's a generator. No, she's a manifesting generator.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, either way, the short answer is don't do anything that doesn't start as a response to something in the external environment, period. Then wait through your authority. If you have emotional authority, wait through the wave. If you have sacral authority, you're going to get that gut yes, no. Trust it. Do you have energy for it? Is it satisfying? Does it make you feel more like yourself? If the answers to all three of those things are yes, and you, if you have emotional authority, you've waded through the wave where you're mad, and then you're excited, and then you're inspired, and then you're mad and disappointed and scared, and then you're inspired and excited, and then you're tired and you can't do it. And it gets to this place where you're like, yeah, I'm going to do that. I feel like she might have emotional authority, but I it's hard to speak to things when I don't know.
Right.
Either way, as any kind of generator, no, you do not have to always work for other people at all. I don't work for other people. I mean, I work for other people, but I don't have a boss. I run 80 businesses, as we've discussed. And I'll tell you, the ones built in response work. The ones where I'm like, but I want to do a shabbity-bab because I want to, they don't. Or the ones where I'm like, it would be smart for me to do, but here's, I'll give you a good example. I'm often thinking, this is so random. I've never shared this out loud with anyone ever.
Yeah.
Except for my assistant who goes through such a ride with me. Like, I don't know, this woman, shout out to Leslie, because Jesus Christ, I would not want to be my assistant. I'm the most ADD, like, okay, today we're talking about couches. I need marketing materials that are this, this, and that by tomorrow for these four couches. And then the next day I'm like, so the theater company needs a, and then the, midway through the day, I'm like, can you do the accounting on the healing businesses export, da, 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 the MailChimp? You know, and luckily she knew what she was getting into when she signed up. Anyway, we're a great team. She's the best. I have this idea all the time that I should have a side hustle, because I need another one, as a notary public.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my mind, it makes a lot of sense. It's like, it's not a lot of work. You get to drive around to do it. You read the details, you sign the thing, you stamp it, you're done. And it feels to me like something I could do in between appointments. And like, whatever. But then it's like, when it comes down to the, I get busy stuff. Like, I've built a few notary websites thinking I'm going to start a side hustle as a notary.
You actually built the website.
Oh, yeah. Fully built them. Leslie, let's be real. Leslie has built them under my direction. I've been like, it should look like this, and it should have this button, and go. And she makes these wonderful things, and then they just sit. Because I just, the energy, it does not make me feel more like myself.
Yeah.
It does. It is not satisfying. And I have this feeling of like, I wouldn't want to be identified as that from the outside world, which is my G center talking. Like, if the world were like, Katie Rubin is a notary, I'd be like, ew, no, I'm not. So then I'd have to hide it from the world and be like, I don't do this. But then you can't fully market something that you're hiding. And those are two conflicting energies, right? If I'm like, buy my notary services, but don't notice that I'm a notary.
Yeah.
That, I've tried that before too. That shit doesn't work. You have to come out to the world and go, this is the thing. Look at it.
Right.
Particularly if you're me as a second line, because second lines have a deep relationship with marketing. Different conversation. All of this is to say, for Carolina's sake, there are many good ideas in the world. But at the end of the day, when you listen to your strategy and authority, did you respond to something in the universe and then in the physical universe, the world, the 3D world that you have energy for? It's satisfying to do. And it makes you feel more like yourself to do it. If those things are in place, it's going to probably work for you. If not, it probably won't. So that doesn't, none of that means you can't start a business. It's just start a business in response. Don't start a business in reaction.
What would you say the difference between reaction and response is?
Reaction is heated. Response is comfortably energized.
Okay.
And the comfortably energizedness starts, it's in the sacral motor. It's in the belly. So there's a kind of like quiet, energized, like, I got energy for that. Let's go. That comes right from your belly, like right above the belly button. It's a quiet energizedness. Reaction is like, fuck you. You guys are going to do that? Well, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to hire me and not pay me enough? Well, then I'll start my own, bobbity boo.
Right.
Or you could have a different kind of reaction. I'm sad that they won't hire me. So I'm going to start my own, I guess, out of reaction. You see what I mean?
Right.
Reaction always has an emotional charge. Sacral energy is not emotional. It's an energy to do it. It's a desire and an energy and a willingness and a drive in the gut that is not emotional, but it is charged with, it's energized, not emotionally so. Now, but all of this depends on what authority she has, because if she has emotional authority, she's going to need to love it, and she's going to need to have an emotional sense of, this is correct for me, and I can do this over time.
Mm.
That'd be a great question for her. Over time, can you sustain a business? Okay, go for it. Over time, is that going to be draining or energizing? Those would be great questions to sit into.
That's awesome. So two more of our most active questioners and listeners. This person asks, my question is regarding my defined ego and my human design chart. I've heard Katie, this is funny because we just, it's so fucking crazy.
This is, like,
this is literally on the exact same topic.
Magical.
Because it's about promises. I've heard Katie mention, God damn it, the fuck?
Like, pretty good, right?
I've heard Katie mention that defined egos have a tendency to, you have open ego.
I do.
Right. So the opposite here is her saying defined egos have a tendency to stick with whatever they commit to until it is done.
Correct.
What about a marriage commitment? If a person has committed to a marriage in front of God and family, that's the joke we made earlier.
That's so funny.
And friends till death do us part, then how does a person with defined ego allow themselves the permission to end the commitment before it's technically, quote, done, if till death do us part is when it's done?
Well, when it's done is when you've decided it's done, not when the legal contract says it's done.
Right.
It's done. You know it's done because you've told me it's done, and I know your situation, and it's done.
Right. And so you're not being counter to your own design by ending something. You might be struggling with that maybe because of it.
Correct. The way the ego operates as a motor and a center in the body is it grips on to the things it commits to and it sees it through no matter what. But that doesn't mean you codependently stay in a marriage that's unhealthy because you said you would. What it means is follow strategy and authority better next time before the next wedding, so that when you're in the next marriage, you don't have to get out of it because you really, really waited and waited and listened and listened and you really know. And I'm saying that a little teasingly, but also like quite sincerely, because the advice they give in the trainings of, with human design is people with definition in the ego have to wait just as long as people without definition in the ego to choose, because their ego will grip on and force them to stay in to the end, even if it was incorrectly chosen and you didn't follow strategy and authority. And that's where you have to override the definition in the ego and go, I'm sorry, ego, you're going to be frustrated, but I'm pulling out.
Right. And we can say it's done so you can satisfy that.
Well, I guess to that point, it's she's going to have to, on her own time and in her own way, come to decide for herself if it is in fact done.
Right.
Because until she knows for real that for her it's done, she'll struggle with this. So what inner work can you do, listener, that will loosen your grip on God and country and the law and focus on what's true for you? Because to be fair, maybe it's not done. I think it's done. I have an opinion because I've heard details about the nature of the thing and the way it functions. I happen to think personally it's toxic, it's not healthy, and he's not changing. So, and she's, you know, whatever. But I'm not the boss of the universe, and she has to know it's done inside of herself. So
yeah,
this to me points to, because you've brought this up a bunch too with me in private, and I understand there's no abstract answer to your question. The point is you have to do your own emotional work so you have your own clarity about whether this is done. I can tell you all day because I get a yes and I know it for myself intuitively and consciousness says it, but I'm not in your life. You are. So what grieving do you have to do? Is it the grief around, because everything is grief at the end of the day, all the energies in the way of clarity underneath them all, whether they're anger, fear, whatever, it all comes back to grief. So what grieving do you have to do? Is it the death of your attachment to a sense of self that you have that never would get divorced? Is it the judgments of other people and what they'll think of you if you get divorced? Is it his judgments of you? Is it your projections of what it means to be a married person, quote, forever? What judgments are causing you to, that are so painful that they're creating grief, that if you were to face that grief, grieve that grief, feel that grief, could lighten, and then you would have more clarity on the other side? And I will say formally, I should always say this, just because something is clear to me today, and I get a yes today on a thing or no on a, if he were to suddenly change his mind, do his narcissism healing, which is huge and will take years and years and years to succeed at, go to lots of therapy, get sober, treat you very, very well, pretty quickly. If that were to happen, why would you leave? But that's the magnitude of things that have to happen in this particular case. Do you want to wait for that? And are there any real world indications he's actually doing that? Not his mouth and what it says, his behavior and what he does. And I'll leave it there.
Great.
People have mouths and they say a lot of things through them.
We do. We say, yeah, we say we're going to fucking fix a chair. See how I did that? See, that was me being cheeky and not passive aggressive.
I get
but
it.
But I feel like I have to clarify that now because I'm clumsy.
No, I get it. And I was going to make the joke, you know, some of us just have mouths and say words out of them.
Oh, good, good, good.
Yeah. We full circled it.
Full circled the roast.
Yeah.
Double roasted.
Double roast full circle.
We're like a Burger King burger. All right. We got one more kind of silly question.
I'm ready. Silly it up.
That I'm excited about.
Squeezle the dog is like, bitch, wrap it up. I need to walk.
From other super listener, Margaret.
Margaret!
Australian Margaret.
It's been so long.
Yeah, I know. We haven't heard from. All right. Hi, Katie, Cassidy, and Dez. chiming in to send my love to you all for your 200th episode.
Wah, wah, wah.
Insert air horn sound Desmond. I am proud to have listened to all of them. That was me, not Margaret. And I'm always grateful to learn so much from you, your guests, and the records. My question is a fun one for me. In your very first episode, remember that? You read the Akashic records of your podcast, asked what was its purpose, and shared about its energy and intentions to share the unified space between spirituality and creativity. Thank you for the reminder.
Wow, I forgot that.
No, I remember that.
Okay.
Yeah. And we've strayed somewhat and hewed to it somewhat, whatever.
I don't even remember the vaguest notion of it, but I...
No, I remember it. Very specifically that was like, we asked, what's this for? And it said spirituality and creativity.
Okay.
The space that exists between them. And at the...
But that's exactly what we've been doing. How have we veered from that?
That's all we've done. And also the idea that I remember very clearly it being said that there is no space between them. Like...
Right.
They're just different words for the... Same energy.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm an avid K-pop fan and have been in awe of the worldwide movement that has grown up around the Korean group BTS.
Behind the scenes?
No, it's called BTS, which stands for Bangtan Sonyeondan.
Okie dokie.
You don't know about BTS?
No.
Dynamite is one of their big hit songs. Some other. No. You'd hear it and you go, oh, I've heard that song on the radio when I was driving. Maybe we should play a song for you just so you can.
Smooth like butter, like a criminal undercover. Don't pop like trouble, breaking into your heart like that. Ooh. Cool shade, stunner, yeah, owe it all to my mother. Hot like summer, yeah, making you sweat like that. Break it down.
Can you read the Akashic records of BTS and share what their purpose is and how these seven individuals have come together to be such a phenomenon of love across the world?
That's fun.
They seem like a rare gift of light to the world to me. Did you just say, sure? And I'd love to hear the records' perspective on why them and how they've managed such unprecedented popularity across nations.
Okay. I think we should do this one and the other Carolina questions next time.
Because they're bigger than small. Great. Cliffhanger. Very exciting.
You're going to hear about
BTS.
It. BTS behind the scenes.
We're going to hear about Toltec breathing spiritual exercise.
Like you do.
And we're going to hear about who are your spirit guides that show up in your dreams if you are Carolina.
Pow, pow, pow. Pow, 200 pow, episodes.
Pow, 200 fucking episodes.
High fucking five. I'm proud of
Boom.
Us.
Boom. We're awesome. I love it. I said all the joyful things earlier about how amazing I think you are, but I do.
You're the best.
Changed my life, Katie, and I'm glad I get to occasionally see you in human form. Sorry I can't join you for a drink later.
No worries. I love you. Have a good play. Do your work, everybody. It's going great.
Do all the work and have fun while you're doing it if you can.
All the answers, all the work.
All the work, all the answers. Do your work. Bye. Oh, the dog. Wait, stop recording that.
What are you asking for? All of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @AllAnswersPod, @AllAnswersPod. Thank you.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
They don't have promises. They're like literally never make promises.